Well, joining us once again for his weekly chat with Radio Yorkshire, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning, Darren.
How are you?
Have you recovered from your Glastonbury experience?
Yes, after many baths and many showers, I'm feeling pretty good now.
How much it cost to clean up the BBC staff? I gather they sent 350 people there to cover the Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah.
And their chairman's complaining they're short of money. Just make you weep, isn't it?
Yeah, it does seem like if you want to send me there next week on behalf of Radio Yorkshire, I'd be very happy, KB.
Yes, I'm sure you would be, but since we don't have public money to waste and chuck about in our fiefdom, they can afford to spend £1.2 million a year on taxes, apparently.
Good Lord.
On having them on standby. No, that's the Ministry of Defence.
Yeah.
There's so much waste coming out, you don't know which department of government's doing it next. Never mind. If you get a job in the Ministry of Defence, you never should catch you on track. An 80, 15 golf courses, you get one of a game. Great being in the army, isn't it?
Once again, plenty to cover, as usual. We're going to discuss the budget very shortly, which I'm sure that I'll be interested to find out your views on that. Leeds United, let's start with Leeds United. And things seem to be progressing quite nicely pre-season so far. There's a couple of nice pre-season games coming up on Radio Yorkshire with Harrogate on tomorrow night. And I was just wondering about your thoughts on the current situation. It seems to be sort of like moving along quite nicely at Elland Road.
Well, let's put it this way. No bad news is coming out of Elland Road. That's actually almost a positive. There's not much news coming out of Elland Road at all. And on the old saying, no news is good news, we can be positive and hopeful. The one good thing about Leeds now, of course, is Adam Pearson. They've got a professional administrator. The first time after 2.5 years of the amateur jokers who couldn't organise a booze up in a brewery. And in view of the Arabs' private drinking, I know at least one former gentleman, GFH, who had his own bottle of whiskey in his office, he's got a good chance. Adam has earned himself a good reputation and proven ability. He was here, of course, in the Lisdale days and left. He then went to Hull City, which is a bit of a mess, sorted out. And in fact, I think made a profit on his investment while he was there. And then he went to, I can't remember, it was either Derby County or Leicester City, did a similar job. And he's now back at Leeds, as he said himself, running a mid-table championship club, a bit different to being in the semi-finals of the Champions League. So he cut his coat according to his cloth at Elland Road, but I'm sure it will take time to shine through. That we'll see the effect of having the first decent chief executive since Sean Harvey. And we wish him well.
Yeah, we certainly do. Leeds United, always a popular club, especially when it comes to TV. They feature heavily again once this season.
I'm quite amazed. There's a statement coming out almost every other day. This game is going to play live. It suits me. It means I'll be able to watch them all. But you're asking about, I think, commercial and financial implications. Well, the short answer is I'm a bit out of date now. But as I remember it, in the Championship, the home team gets a fee to compensate for the disruption, possible falling gate receipt. But I don't think the away club does. They do in the Premiership, because that was a system I instituted. After all, they provide half the entertainment. But I think, frankly, the Championship haven't got the money. But I also think, in the League Cup, I think both clubs do get a fee. Again, that's subject to... I suggest you check that and confirm it later on in your schedules. So, if it does make an impact on us, these are certainly modest in comparison to the costs and other sources of income we have.
With regards to the attendance to Elland Road, is that impacted quite heavily when Leeds United are on TV, and therefore that must make quite a financial impact on the club?
Well, it depends who you're playing. I think if you're playing an unattractive club, or shall we say a less attractive club, the gate would go down anyway, wouldn't it? Because after all, if you think about it, Derby's bringing bigger numbers than if you're playing the Oval, for example. So it certainly depends. I think it depends. There's no straight answer to that question, because it depends on the opposition. It also depends what time. For example, an 11:30 kickoff has a different impact from when the game switched to Sunday or Monday or Friday. But it obviously does have an impact, but it varies. And if you're playing Sheffield Wednesday or Sheffield United or Huddersfield, then obviously fans want to go and see their team in a derby. So it doesn't affect it as much. But if you're playing a club which is less attractive, on the other hand, you might then say, well, why don't you get the picket? If it's an unattractive fixture. But there are quotas. You have to give so many games to so many, each club, and therefore sometimes some games are played because just filling in the numbers that the contract requires them. So it's not straightforward, Darren, but it does have an impact, but you can't always measure it. For example, Doncaster versus Leeds in the League Cup. Well, I would think that every true Leeds fan will want to go to see Doncaster in the first round of the Cup, if they can. Particularly if I need to put it over them, over the club that featured in the playoff finals in Cardiff. But in Cardiff, there's Wembley. There's Watford that beat us at Cardiff. Oh, time flies. Sorry, Darren.
No, we'll move on to the budget, KB. George Osborne stepped up yesterday and delivered his first budget of the majority Conservative government. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think it's an encouraging start. I think he's been a brave man in as much as he's done some things which are obviously not very popular. He's done some clever things. He's stolen some of Labour's ideas. He's caught on the back foot yesterday. For example, the announcement of the living wage increasing to £9 by 2020. So that's obviously going to have an impact. And it should also encourage people back to work and get them off the benefit system. Some of them have never done a day's work in their life. I also think that it'll start people thinking. But you see, there's so many mixed reports going on. There's some independent institution about care recommending that single men should stay in care if necessary, if they're unemployed and homeless, to the 25. 25? Why not make it 65 and then let them bloody go straight from care into retirement? Totally ridiculous. That's kind of stuff. An attitude that Osborne, I think, has taken the first step to try and get off this what's the state going to do for me attitude. And what can I do to earn myself a living culture, which has got to be increased and improved. So the idea of cutting benefits, cutting this, cutting that, which will make it impossible for people to go through life without working, unless, of course, they're disabled or have a mental illness of some kind, I think it's very positive. Obviously, the people who are going to squeal, who are going to be affected adversely, are going to squeal. I think we accept that. We expect them to be squealing now anyway. I mean, cutting down the benefits to only two children is a good one. If you can't afford children, don't have them. It's as simple as that. And when I read that some people 23, 24 have never done a day's work in their life, well, they can't blame other people. They haven't got to work. You know, they haven't got out and worked for it. Another thing, Baroness Brady, who's the TV executive of West Ham, she was on a TV this morning saying that there's this culture where people don't know how to write a job application letter, don't know how to do a CV, don't know how to turn up to work properly. Should get work experience. Unpaid if necessary, while they're still between 16 and 18, to get into the work ethic. So I think it's a good start. They are cutting income tax for the lower people, lower paid people, doing incentives to the companies to start working hard and creating more jobs by the reduction of the corporation tax, raising of the death duties is a good start. They'll ask why there are any death duties at all. After all, people, by and large, unless the money is inherited, you work hard, pay your 40% tax on it, save the other, what you gave the other 60%, then when you die, you get taxed again. It's not fair. What he hasn't announced is a simplification of our hopeless tax laws. There are 17,000 pages of tax laws in Britain, it's highest in the world. How many pages in the Bible? And tax laws, the more the tax laws go on, they get very complicated. And that means it's easier to avoid tax. So that means that the country employs lots and lots of lawyers and accountants who do nothing productive at all. They simply plan and advise their clients how to avoid tax. And the Inland Revenue employs thousands and thousands of staff trying to stop those people avoiding tax. And if it was a simple system, half those accountants and lawyers would perhaps do more productive things. And quite a large number of Inland Revenue employees would lose their jobs and could get a productive job elsewhere. I'll give you one example, that is Guernsey. 20%, it's 20% tax. No ifs, no buts. It's first so much is tax-free, obviously, to help the poor. After 8p, there are no reliefs, there's no allowances, there's no deductions, there's no exceptions. You pay 20%. That's simple. So they have a very small Inland Revenue Office. In the same Monaco, right? There's no tax there. They get their taxes and other things. Everything they run makes a profit, the state, and of course they get the VAT. And people spend a lot of money in Monaco, so they have VAT. Very simple system. And another example is the BBC licence fee. The argument of the licence fee, should it be carried on or should it be abolished, the amount it costs to collect the licence fee. So if you think about it, you get £145.50 for a licence fee. That has to be collected, and it has to be monitored. They have to check if people have got a licence or not. Then they have to prosecute them. Sometimes they don't always win. So there's money going out the window anyway. Now if you use an iPad or something else, you don't have to pay the license. It's stupid. It's much easier. I gather BBC has sacked 1,000 staff. Well, they've sacked another 3,000 staff. They wouldn't need the license fee anyway. And they say they can't sell advertising. Well, sitting here in Venice, as I am, I watch the BBC World. They're selling advertising. So they can sell advertising. And the BBC has some very good points. It produces some very good programmes. So why shouldn't they go commercial? They make more money. With less aggravation. Sky seems to be doing all right. ITV seems to be doing all right. I'm sure the BBC could. But I drift, getting back to the budget. I think this is the first of five budgets this government would put in. I think it's progressive. We've simply got to pay off the borrowings, which is £1.5 trillion. You can only imagine that. That's £1,000 billion. We're paying about 60, 70 billion a year just in interest. If we got rid of our debt, just think how many hospitals and schools and road improvements we could do with that kind of money. It costs us nothing. So, yes, there will be squeals. But on the whole, I think it's a good budget, it's a good start. And he shot across the bows. I thought it was interesting that Harriet Harman, who's replying as the acting Labour leader, didn't have a lot to say because there wasn't a lot to say. I think it was a fresh start. Everyone should enter into the spirit of it, go with it. There's a bit something for everybody. There's some more taxes, but in a hopefully more simplified way. So let's stop moaning and groaning. Those that moan and groan, let's get on with it. Interestingly, there was a demonstration against the budget. Did you look carefully? All the placards have been made weeks before. Very carefully made. So they're just the professional protesters. And I wonder, by the way, how many of those want benefits? How many of those win work?
Well, finally, KB, let's just talk about busy times at Radio Yorkshire, and plenty coming up over the next few weeks with Leeds United commentaries of Harrogate Town and, of course, at York in the pre-season friendlies, and big changes in DAB, and it seems to have, with the re-scanning, most people seem to have made the switch across.
Well, what has happened, let me explain to people. We used to transmit to the firm called MXR. They're the people that send out the signal on all the stations' behalves, all the different stations. And they ceased trading and sold the business. And it's taken over by the Yorkshire Bar, taken over by Bauer, who, of course, also, among others, Radio Air. Now, they don't cover the whole of Yorkshire, which MXR used to do. Bauer only cover Leeds. And they asked us an increased fee, transmission fee, for just Leeds, given they were paying Bauer for the whole of Yorkshire. So we refused to pay it. So now what we have, we're transmitting from an area which covers the whole of North Yorkshire, in Harrogate and York, and we're also transmitting from Bradford and Leeds station, which covers whole of West Yorkshire and comes intermittently partly into Leeds. Now, on the other hand, DAB radio transmissions are a bit complicated. For example, we already know that listeners in Hull are continuing to get our messages, and in part Leeds people are getting our messages. So you just have to keep fiddling that dial of yours, my dear listener, and to make sure you pick us up. The other two transmitting firms are actually building new transmitters in the course of the year, which of course we'll get the benefit of, and then I think that will completely cover the whole Leeds area anyway. I wouldn't like to suggest have vowed to deliberately increase the fee because of our competition with Radio Air, but it failed in its intentions anyway. And we are, of course, continually exploring other ways of reaching our listeners. And we are, of course, still on the internet, and you can get us on all the usual things, which Darren, you can tell them about far more technically than I can, because iPads, ePage apps, all the other most wonderful things.
Yeah, always available, Radio Yorkshire.
I never dreamed of when I was a kid.
Always available on radioyorkshire.co.uk, also via the TuneIn app as well, if you're on an iPad, an iPhone or anything like that. As always, pleasure to speak to you. KB, we'll speak to you at the same time next week.
Well, let's remember in mind, people, that Radio Yorkshire on the internet is worldwide. And finally, I think what we should do before we go down, say well done to an unknown hero, or heroine, sorry, unknown heroine, who I think we're going to hear a lot of in the future. So well done to 23-year-old Heather Watson, who gave Serena Williams the fight of her life at Wimbledon the other day. She's one of us. She comes from Guernsey, and I've got a funny feeling we're going to see a lot of her. She had the kind of guts and ability and determination that we last saw in the wonderful Sue Barker, who Suzanne and I are proud to know. And the other thing is, you know, the shriekers and grunters, who we hear a lot of these days on court, of which Serena Williams is one of the worst. Suzanne was trying to do some kind of silences, which we fit on, that filter out the grunts and shrieks, so we don't have to turn the volume down when we listen to Wimbledon.
KB, we'll catch up with you at the same time next week. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Good luck. Goodbye.